101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the tag team of Andrew Fish Fane, Joe DeFalco, and your host, Mark Hoke.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, ma.
It's wrestling time.
Or wrestling time.
You remember that one?
No, I don't.
It's crime time.
Oh, good Lord.
Remember crime time?
Yeah, one of them's dead and the other one, I don't know where the other one is.
He's around.
Or are they both?
We're in the indies. He's working the indies.
Oh, okay.
ATG.
Yeah, he's around. Welcome to the Mark Hoke Show, everybody.
Yay!
You know, Sunday morning is such a dangerous time to do radio.
It's a crapshoot.
It really is. Like, I never know which fish I'm going to get. I get happy fish, I get sad fish, I get mad fish, I get bad fish.
Red fish, blue fish, one fish, two fish.
See, you got that too. You're on a roll today. You're doing it, fish. But I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us. Going to bring you the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment today. My slightly grinning, smiling companion over here. He looks like he's in a beauty pageant with Botox.
I'm the Monopoly. I came in second. I won 10 bucks.
Andrew Fish Fane is on the board. What's up, buddy?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay. Glad I didn't go to Madison Square Garden last night. Joe!
Neither did most of the people in the city of New York.
I wasn't there either.
Of course, also along for the ride is, you know, sitting in the back seat, throwing stuff at the driver's head. Occasionally have to turn around and, you know, threaten to stop the car. From future stars of wrestling, Joe DeFalco. Joe, what's up?
Not much. Just looking back at the week and how many things I've been right about. It's crazy.
It was an interesting week.
I think that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, a lot of
interesting things happened.
Some good, some bad, some ugly.
Depending on which company you're talking about, there was more bad or ugly.
Yeah, some quality entertainment, that's for sure. And, you know,
James lost her title.
Yeah, I wish we had more time today, but we won't waste any more. Let's just start off with some WWE stuff. And I want to start off with last night's Madison Square Garden show. Of course, everybody was hyping the Madison Square Garden show. Something's going to happen to Brock Lesnar. We're going to have a mystery opponent for Brock Lesnar. And my opinion on this is they were hyping that show because the attendance has been down at the mecca of pro wrestling for WWE for God knows how long.
James McMahon there.
The dad was running the shows there and selling out with Bruno Sammartino and the boys. They're nowhere near sellouts right now, and they hyped this show up. And what did the fans get? A 5-minute match with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. And a 1.5-minute match with mystery opponent Austin Theory taking on Brock Lesnar, getting crushed, and then Roman Reigns and the Usos beat him up. There you go.
And they would have just brought in Nikolai Volkov. It would have been better.
The other problem is the rest of the card, every match was so predictable.
Yeah, it was. Let me pull the results. I know I've got them sitting right here.
Was Austin Theory's match not predictable? Did you think it would go 2.5 minutes instead of 1.5?
I was hoping it would at least go 3.
Probably last like 10 times longer than with his girlfriend.
Would have lasted longer than Austin Theory.
Yeah.
That would be a dream match, by the way. That's a subject down the road of something.
Bruno Sammartino, Brock Lesnar?
Oh. Could you imagine that match? That'd be awesome.
Well, not now. Bruno Sammartino's a little old.
Well, Bruno's dead.
See?
Bring him back.
That F5 would be pretty easy.
Why are you guys liking talking about dead people today? What? That's two already.
Jeez. Well, we could go all day. But yeah, it's just not a great night at Madison Square Garden for everybody.
I mean, you didn't have to look at who the card was. It was the Raw Tag Team titles. RK-Bro versus the Alpha Academy. Who's going to win that match?
Alpha Academy.
Exactly. SmackDown Tag Team titles.
Usos.
Versus New Day, who's going to win?
Yeah. Yeah, the Usos.
Thank you. U.S. title, which was Damian Priest and Finn Balor rematch. Finn Balor being the champion. Who's going to win?
Finn Balor.
And who won?
So there could be DQs or countouts, or they don't have to retain that way.
Yeah, I know they don't have to, but the problem and the point is that they did, unfortunately.
Yeah, here we go. So I apologize. Somehow I wiped that one out. Yeah, it was Alpha Academy beats RK-Bro. Finn Balor beat Damian Priest by DQ. Priest got a good ovation from his hometown New York fans.
Although Priest with the heel turn made no sense either.
Yeah. We're getting to that. Usos beat Kofi and or the New Day. I'm going to say New Day. Becky Lynch beats Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. Romans and Reigns goes a whole 5 minutes. Sad.
I mean, that's actually pretty short. That's pretty short considering Seth Rollins usually has better matches.
You would think that if you're gonna screw everybody with Austin Theory against
Brock Lesnar,
you're gonna give him a good match with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, but you don't. You don't. Drew McIntyre beats Sami Zayn. Ronda Rousey and Naomi beat Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville. Charlotte taps out. So, wow, we got a Charlotte tap out, and that main event. So,
yeah, like I said, it's just
nothing.
No, it was a very predictable kind of block hard.
You know,
but that's what house shows are about now. Is the Madison Square Garden shows aren't anything special anymore. It used to be like, you know, I remember going back into the day when Honky Tonk Man was the Intercontinental Champion, and they were doing the circuit of non-title matches against the Macho Man. And that was right in the beginning of the Macho Man babyface turn, and it was like he ate the pin, Honky Tonk Man, and of course because it was a non-title match. But, man, it was sold out, and the crowd was berserk. That was the main event, not Hulk Hogan, who was the champ in Earthquake. It was Macho Man because he was hot as a firecracker then.
Yeah, so, yeah, just a disappointment.
Right. The most interesting thing that happened in WWE this week was the mid-card title change on both Raw and SmackDown.
You know, I might debate you on that, but I don't know if that was the most interesting thing that happened.
I thought it was the Vince McMahon interview.
That was what I was going to say. But we'll hit that. Let's hit the Raw SmackDown real fast. So we do have two new champions. Finn Balor beat Damian Priest to win the U.S. title. And Ricochet takes the Intercontinental title. Out of nowhere, gets an Intercontinental title shot. And Sami Zayn, bye-bye Intercontinental title. We thank God, though, we do not have to suffer through an Intercontinental title defense against Johnny Knoxville.
I think they realized that it would have been ridiculous to have have Johnny Knoxville fighting for the Intercontinental Championship.
There was such a negative reaction to that from everybody. And I'm sure everybody in the back.
Johnny Knoxville is going to win. That's why.
Right.
That's the only reason they're not having it for the title, because either way, you know how it is. The celebrity comes in somehow. Johnny Knoxville's, I guess, the baby face, and, you know, Wee Man's going to cost Sami Zayn.
You know,
get those betting odds out now and bet Johnny Knoxville.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, but, you know, I was a little surprised that Ricochet was the pick, but I actually read a report that said on their sheet where they're listing who their top baby faces and heels are, that because some guys are doing tag team right now, like Big E, that Ricochet is their number two baby face.
And which is good, because now that he's the Intercontinental champ, nothing will change. He'll still now lose 14 matches in a row because they'll all be non-title matches. So,
or he won't defend it at all.
Right, but
they did with Shinsuke here.
But it's good for Ricochet because he deserves that kind of run. I mean, I thought he got shafted when he won the U.S. title and lost it immediately to Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And the move he made, the flip that he did the back handspring and then the flip outside the ring on SmackDown, that was an incredible move.
Ricochet's fantastic. The problem is, again, it's like, you know, that WWE policy. If you're only allowed to do a certain amount of super cool moves. It was like back in the day, it was like, it didn't matter that you had Evan Bourne, you had Rey Mysterio. Then when Rey Mysterio got hurt, Evan Bourne got to do the cooler stuff that he could do. And it's like they limit you because, God forbid, a low-card guy gets, you know,
upstages.
Outshines Brock Lesnar or something.
Yeah, I mean, if you've not seen Ricochet at his best, and some people kind of debate it because it was a real spotty thing that he did with Will Ospreay, go back and look that match up. Go back and look up Ricochet versus Will Ospreay. You'll find it, And it's one of the craziest sequences you will ever see in a wrestling ring.
Even when he was in NXT, he was showing more than he's showing now in on the main roster.
Even when he worked for Joe DeFalco. Go find Ricochet versus Austin Aries.
Ooh.
And Ricochet versus Chris Sabin on the FSW YouTube page, and you'll see that 6-7 years ago when he was on the rise, that this guy was amazing. And then he went into Lucha Underground. He was amazing. And then he went to WWE.
That's because Vince has his issue with guys that aren't huge to be featured.
He's not the big sweaty man.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
He should have been the new Rey Mysterio. He should have been that new age super high flyer that the crowd can love. He should have been one of the, you know, even keep the mask on from the Lucha Underground days if you want to keep the mystery. But that's a major boat misser. And the thing with Ricochet is, even back then, that his ultimate goal was, I want to be a WWE superstar. And, you know, regardless of how he was treated, he is, you know, stuck it out, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and to me, this was just kind of out of nowhere, because the last time we really saw Ricochet, he was teaming with Cesaro and losing to Sheamus after Ridge Holland got hurt at that pay-per-view. He lost 2-on-1 to Sheamus, and now here we are.
There you go.
He's the Intercontinental Champion, so more inconsistent booking from WWE and things that don't make sense. And thinking of that, speaking of that, we've got... Boy, I can't even talk this morning. Lord. Edge and AJ Styles. Boy, I'll tell you. Edge wants a challenge at WrestleMania. Give me somebody. And AJ says, hey, you know what? Hi, I'll wrestle you. And all of a sudden, he gets concertoed. The worst thing that Edge does to anybody, the thing that's reserved for the person that he just hates and despises and...
For just Seth Rollins AJ, or Randy
just,
Orton.
Just AJ says, hey, I'll wrestle you. It'll be cool. Dead. What was that all about?
Well, Edge was a little mad because the day before he was in Vegas for Sin Bodhi's wedding, and he had to fly cross country, so he had some issues with the stewardess, and that's where it went.
What does that have to do with AJ? He didn't do anything.
He was the guy in front of him.
Why didn't he just take it out on the ticket counter? That would have been better. He could have concertoed somebody at the Allegiant stands. Just once again, not making sense is the point. This is out of nowhere.
Babyface thing. So I guess it was time. You know, we've talked about how Edge's comeback has almost been almost as worse as Christian's return into wrestling. So. Not quite, but I guess that was a way to, you know, generate something from the past. And now we have somebody to strictly root for in AJ Styles, who they want to push against a guy who does his best work as a heel.
And allegedly he's going to explain his actions Monday night.
Yeah, Beth gave him some bad chili or something, I guess.
I think Lita should show up, too, and they rekindle their couple.
Oh, now you're talking.
Jeez. Well, that gives us another mixed tag team match. Then we'd have AJ and Beth against Edge and Lita. Gonna take a hard pass on that. But once again, it's kind of inconsistent storytelling from WWE and throwing stuff together right before WrestleMania. And
I mean, even down on NXT, they had, you know, Solo Sikoa was undefeated, and then he runs into Gunther. And he got dominated in that match. And it was like, why are you doing this to the guy?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense either.
It's just more. It's just another example this past week of WWE's totally uneven, ridiculous booking.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as Joe was saying, what I thought was the biggest story in WWE this week turned out to be Vince McMahon's appearance on the Pat McAfee show. And if you go, the interview was an hour and 20 minutes. It took a lot of time with Vince, and you know, announcements like he's going to. You know, Vince is going to induct The Undertaker in there. Pat McAfee's getting a match, which now turns out to be Austin Theory.
Yikes.
I knew that. That's what I said.
It is exactly what you said.
Why is it not Corey Graves?
Which makes a lot more sense.
The announcer from Raw. Corey just got cleared. He hasn't wrestled for years. Could you imagine?
Right. Who wants to see him wrestle? Nobody cared to see him wrestle when he actually wrestled.
Well, but it's a comeback story, and then you got the Raw announcer against the SmackDown announcer, and you know, I think that would be, and I think people would be a little bit excited to see Corey
and
get back
both
in the ring,
though. So I'd rather see McAfee against Michael Cole.
Yeah, cause the problem with McAfee versus Austin Theory is there's absolutely no stakes in it, because if Austin Theory wins, he's supposed to win, and if he loses, it's how the hell did you lose to Pat McAfee?
Right. So it's a no win for everybody. But I did find the interview with McMahon very interesting. As you know, someone who does business, and Joe, I'm sure you would agree with this too. You got to hear a lot of where Vince came from, his philosophies on how he does business. There are things in there you're going to hear and agree with and hear and say, what? But whenever you get a chance to see somebody that's successful like that and you get to hear their philosophies and how they do things on a daily basis, what their routines are, what they believe, it's always really interesting to me. And I, you know, Vince said at the beginning of the year, for example, you know, I don't dwell on the negative. It's a double negative if you dwell on the negative, because you're not dwelling on something positive. You're dwelling on something negative. So it's a double negative if you do that. And when he said that, I was like, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And he had things like that all through the interview that I thought was fascinating. He actually explained why they use WWE Superstar as their term for their wrestlers, which, when I thought about it, I was like, okay, you know, I can see it. He said, you know, if anybody can be a pro wrestler, but not everybody can be a WWE superstar. So it distinguishes us. It makes us different. And, you know, and he said that was a constant of wanting to do things differently than everybody else did. You know, talked about creating the WWE Network, which I'm sure you guys remember when that came out, everybody's like, how's this going to work? Now everybody's doing it, and he made $1 billion. So it was a really interesting interview. If you haven't watched it, you know,
I read a little snippets of the highlights, but I didn't listen to it. So
yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Everything I heard was extremely interesting, because I know exactly where he's coming from at a much lower scale. There's so much bitterness and drama, and you know, there's some smaller companies around, and you know, the common denominator is that they all hate Joe DeFalco. And they hate Joe DeFalco because they aren't being pushed to where they feel that they should be. So that it's always the blame game. And everybody wants to never take responsibility. And the reason why I'm not the champ is because he doesn't like me, or he plays favorites. And it's like, you know, our track record of champions is like Hammerstone and Chris Bay and Cross,
Cage,
and Brian Cage. And, you know, those were before those guys were extremely known. And you have to work hard and do all these things. And everything Vince was saying, it was kind of like, you know, we sometimes think he's so out of it. But it's like he made so much sense on so many different levels. It was, you know, you wish he had done more of those interviews over the last 20 years.
Did he give any insight as to either A, when he's going to step down from doing this, and B, with Triple H's issues, health issues, who it is that will take over, who is next in line in succession?
He didn't say when he's leaving, and it was more of a general conversation about whether or not whether it's somebody in the family or whether it's somebody outside the company,
because you just want to make sure it's apparently the guy everyone now is saying is going to be taking over.
Yeah, you just want to make sure the company's in good hands.
He said it was whatever's best for business.
Right.
It's business. You can't differentiate that whether they're a family member or not. The best person for the job is the one who should get it. And, you know, everybody initially expected it to be, you know, Stephanie back in the day. And then when Triple H, it seemed like he was his right-hand man. And now, you know, where's the missing persons report? Because, you know, Triple H hasn't been seen or heard from since his heart issue.
And when you think, and after hearing what he said, it to a point makes sense why he would not pick Triple H to take over the company. Because if you see, you look at the work that Triple H did in NXT, and I, you know, we all loved NXT, but it's not what Vince sees. It's not what
he doesn't have the same
sees
vision that Vince has
as who's going to take the company to the next level. I think that he saw Triple H as keeping it in that old school lane instead of thinking the bigger picture. Yeah, and whether that's right or wrong, I don't know, but I think that's what may have turned Vince off to Triple H as he saw him run NXT, that this isn't, you know, this isn't the global vision of WWE. So,
but so then there was no hint of Vince is getting ready to retire or not.
Oh, he's doing great.
I realize that, but I'm saying
he's good. He mentioned no timetable at all.
Okay.
But I thought it was a terrific interview, and I think people would have a lot more respect for him if he would, you know, like Joe said, if he would have done more interviews like this, because I think it was really fascinating insight into.
Does it explain? You know, go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, everybody's jumping on, you know, the new school, the AEW bandwagon, and in turn, they can't give credit. They have to bash. So now Vince McMahon has been bashed, and you know, we've talked about it numerous times and how storylines and the way things are that maybe he hasn't evolved. But to think somebody can't learn anything from Vince McMahon, they're out of their mind.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's the man. If it wasn't for him, nothing would exist the way it does in professional wrestling. This guy with the lowest ratings they've ever had, the lowest amount of attendance they've ever had, and they make more money hand over fist than they ever have. You know, AEW, they could talk all they want, but they're losing millions and millions of dollars. Impact lost millions and millions of dollars. Ring of Honor obviously lost millions and millions of dollars. And Vince McMahon was the one person in the wrestling business to make billions and billions of dollars. So, you know, who's right, who's wrong?
Yeah, it sets a, if you look at, just listen to what he said, I think if you take that philosophy, now, can you do it differently? Like, you know, the AEW style? Sure. But at the same time, you know, maybe you are limiting your audience. And I, you know, we're going to talk about opening that audience up with Ring of Honor being sold to AEW in on the other side of the break. But like I said, whenever you get to listen to somebody like that, you know, all those lessons that he said don't just apply to wrestling. They apply to business. And they apply how you live your life. You know, you can't debate the success that he's had. I mean, the dude lived in a trailer when he was a kid. You know, and took it to a multi-billion dollar corporation. So you can bang it, you know, and we're gonna continue to bang on Vince McMahon about storylines and where things
and the booking
go. But at the same time, can you bang on him about what he did with this business? Not a chance. Not a chance.
No, and he took it to the right time, the right era at the right time. He took it to the Attitude Era when it had to be the Attitude Era, because that was the only way he was going to survive and beat WCW. Then he took it to the Ruthless Aggression Era when it had to go there, and then he took it to the PG Era, which is where it is now. And whether you like it or you hate it, as you said, it's absolutely worked, because he's the only one making money.
Well, really the key was WrestleMania 1. When he started invading territories, and he told a hilarious story about how guys who were running territories were going to go beat him up or wanted him dead, taking wrestling from being just, you know, little patches here and there to being a national and then multinational corporation was amazing. All right, hey, we got to take a break, unfortunately. But, hey, we'll be back, I promise. We're here.
See you later, Fish. I know the wife's calling, so see you.
No, I'll still be here. I will say real quick, Linda told a great story about WrestleMania. It was WrestleMania 1, that at 3 in the morning right after WrestleMania, she was getting phone calls, and they finally said, okay, we're in the black, so everything is good. That's when they finally found out they had made a profit on WrestleMania.
He risked it all. He sure did. All right, stick around, everybody. We'll be right back on the Mark Hoke Show with Joe DeFalco, Andrew Fish Fane here on 101.5 FM, 720 AM, the talk of Las Vegas. Ring of Honor's got a new owner, and we've got pay-per-view predictions for tonight. So stick around, everybody. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. 101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. Now, let's return to the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Ha ha! You thought I was gone.
You were wrong. Look at Fish just staring at me now. Are you okay, Fish?
I'm fantastic.
I didn't freak you out too bad?
Not at all.
All right, good.
I'm just here because I like to tick Joe off because he thinks I've gone, so I'm still here.
Okay, fair enough. I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for joining us on the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. And by the way, I want to thank everybody real fast that we were sixth in the overall ratings, which is pretty amazing. But we won a demographic for the first time, totally out of everybody. And of all the demographics we won, it was the 65-plus.
That's because they're too old to get up and change the radio station.
No, they're listening.
We're number one in the nursing homes, brother.
That's fine. But what I'm laughing about is that it's Sunday. It's church time.
What if they're Jewish?
And they're...
What, old Jews can't listen to wrestling shows?
So let's insult all the people that gave us the demographic win. We certainly appreciate it. Good job, guys.
How is that insulting them?
Oh, you guys are...
First you're talking to dead people, and now you're talking about the people about to die. That's kind of rude.
We're working our way down.
Oi, what are you forgetting? What is this wrestling stuff?
But thank you, everybody, for listening. 34 countries almost all the United States has downloaded podcasts. We appreciate it. And if you want to download this podcast in case you missed a show, all your favorite podcast outlets, it's everywhere. But you can go to markhokeshow.podbean.com, which is the main site to check it out. And we would love to have you join us. Follow us on Twitter, too, at Mark Hoke Show, and Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show. There you go. And by the way, if you want to follow Fish, it's the Fish 1969 on Twitter.
Yes, it is.
Joe DeFalco's got that little thing he does, the Future Stars of Wrestling, FSWVegas.com.
One of the best promotions going.
Absolutely.
That Mecca event is still resonating with me. It's still a fantastic event.
I'm just mad I didn't go out to the hot dog truck.
Well, yeah, we're in talks for the big AEW weekend. We're trying to set the schedule. You know, AEW is going to be here the Wednesday for Dynamite, Friday for Rampage, and Sunday for the pay-per-view. So we're trying to slide in, for a Thursday night show, talking with Booker T and Reality of Wrestling coming to Vegas, AEW, things like that. So it might be a big weekend. We found out Rampage on Friday. Said it was scheduled at 3:00, so I'm not too sure, but if it is, then Friday night show is in the cards, and then Saturday we already have a schedule set for three more events, and who knows, maybe early Sunday we're gonna have one. So it's definitely gonna be a big wrestling weekend, meet and greet vendors. We're trying to do something major out here for that weekend, Memorial Day weekend, which of course now I'm looking at the flights, and it's like, geez, it's crazy.
Well, you're going to see a lot of people here because they sold a ton of tickets for Double or Nothing, over $1 million in ticket sales already. It's not sold out yet, and Fish and I are still working on getting our tickets. But, wow.
Yeah.
T-Mobile Arena is going to be filled up with AEW fans for Double or Nothing. And I haven't looked at the Rampage or Dynamite shows, but I'm sure that there's going to be a few people there for that, too.
We'll be there with that street team pounding flyers because that type of crowd is a lot different than a WWE crowd. So they're very aware and fond of the super indie guys, and between us and the GCW and the name guys that we can bring in for that weekend, these people seem to have, strangely enough, that they talk about wrestling fans, these people have unlimited funds. And, the biggest mistake that people make about wrestling fans is that they're these poor trailer park people who can't afford things, and they're going to be spending thousands of dollars that weekend. And, hopefully the cards we put together, it will be something super cool that weekend.
How about you and me do a tag team, Joe? Somebody beat us. Beat me up. I mean, you can stay on the outside of the ring. I'll take the bump. I think that'd be fun.
Fish will pay good money for that.
Yeah, I know he will.
Well, I would want to be the manager. I want to be your guys' manager. And I can
turn on so you can watch. Oh, so you're the one that's going to beat me up. That's perfect. All right.
So you want to be like the manager of like Bobby Heenan was to the Red Rooster, who would never win.
I was thinking more Harvey Whippleman, but okay.
I'll dig my singlet out. It's all good. I'll take a bump just for fun. Anyway, but yeah, it should be a great weekend. So if you want to get tickets for Double or Nothing, I'd recommend get on board, but don't take the seats that Fish and I are going to pick out after the show. Right, Fish? Ah. Anyway, but of course, AEW made a lot of news this week as Tony Khan's massive announcement. A lot of people were speculating.
Chavo Guerrero was released? Yeah, that was crazy.
Well, that wasn't really an announcement. Chavo didn't even know.
Oh, okay. By the way, Chavo, that was the big thing that happened.
Chavo was off the site, and they asked him, hey, you're off the site. He's like, oh, I didn't know that.
I was?
So Chavo gets a pink slip from a reporter. Congratulations. But AEW purchased Ring of Honor. So according to...
They purchased the library. Hold there on. Is no Ring of Honor.
Hold on. Let me set it up, and then you can gripe all you want. Yeah, Grinch over there. Per the Baltimore Sun, the deal will include Ring of Honor's extensive video library, which dates back to 2002, as well as brand assets, intellectual property, production equipment, and more. Acquisition price was not disclosed. Sinclair, the former owner, watched their stock dip 1.8% the next day. But, Fish, I know you have been ready to yell that this doesn't mean anything, and there's a lot to this, and we got to make sure we save time for our predictions for Revolution tonight. But I'll give you first shot, Joe. I'll hit it, and then I'm gonna dive in and give my opinion on this.
They bought the library for Ring of Honor because there is no Ring of Honor. They bought a company that doesn't exist because in name they exist, but there are no wrestlers under contract. There is nothing there to buy except for the library, which is fantastic to have because if you think about it, that means they can show video of Seth Rollins before he was Seth Rollins because he'll be Tyler Black in Ring of Honor, correct? Because they have all rights to things like that.
Over 40, and the Baltimore Sun also listed there were 40 wrestlers that are just in AEW that wrestled in Ring of Honor. So, and of course, not AEW, but when the Young Bucks and Cody and Kenny Omega did the first show that led to the creation of AEW All In, Ring of Honor did the video for the broadcast for that. So they had rights to that. So if Vince would have bought that library, the origin of AEW would have been in the hands of Vince McMahon.
And that would be a typical Vince McMahon move. I'm surprised that he didn't.
I'm surprised he didn't either. But
he supposedly they were in talks.
Yeah, did hear that.
That's why Tony Khan moved quickly to go ahead and buy it.
Well, apparently this was when they first announced that everything was up for sale. Tony was kind of like, eh. But this deal came together a couple weeks ago, and that's why Tony was leading up with the announcement. But, Joe, I'll give you the...
I think Fish is incorrect to say that there's no company. Their name brand has more value than a lot of other companies. Now, AEW can take some of those guys that were on AEW Dark. They still have that built-in fan base. The fact of the matter is AEW became a branch off of Ring of Honor with the Young Bucks and all them. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Ring of Honor was a show that if they did well, they did 500-600 people. AEW can run it the same way as an NXT, and instead of not using Brian Cage at all, he could be on the Ring of Honor show. You know, you can have Jay Lethal. Oh, wait, you can have a special appearance by Bryan Danielson and Samoa Joe and maybe William Regal's involved and putting that together. There's a lot of excitement because there's a lot of good things that could come of it. Now, again, in the wrestling business, you know, everybody makes up different ideas and Cody Rhodes is really staying in AEW. Oh, he's really not going there. But the fact of the matter is those things could happen. And, you know, Tony Khan seems to, you know, want to do a lot of different things. So I wouldn't write off Ring of Honor. They were going to, you know, they're still doing their Super Card of Honor. And instead of, you know, using all these guys that they had under contract, that they were paying a lot of money because of AEW, you know, I know for a fact that all those guys got raises and because they were afraid of losing everybody. Now, all of a sudden, they already have those guys under contract. So there isn't any oh, no, now we got to pay all this X amount of dollars for the talent. Well, you're paying the talent to not really be on anyway. So now put them on a Ring of Honor show. You don't think if they run a Ring of Honor show that's headlined by Bryan Danielson against Samoa Joe that people aren't going to reminisce and go back and think, oh, this is awesome. I can't believe he brought back Ring of Honor. That was its heyday. You know, the last few years have been kind of a bust for them, and that was right after AEW, you know, took their spot, and then GCW took their other spot. So I think Ring of Honor, you know, when I heard it, I was like, holy crap, that's pretty interesting. Now, what they do with it and what my initial thinking is could end up being such polar opposites, because I heard some crazy numbers that they were looking at $40 million, and it was like, for what?
Wow, that's a lot. Well, yeah. You know, what I see them doing, and if it were me, obviously you have your wrestlers that you either aren't using very much or the ones that are young that you're using on Dark and Elevation. And you start with that. Plus, you know, you do have the opportunity to, as Joe said, you can send whoever you want to these shows, which is, you know, you want to put one headliner on there or two and then fill the rest in, you've got a good show. But I do think that there's also an opportunity there to, I don't know if scout is the right word, but to bring in other independent wrestlers from around the country to be on these shows as well. So you can get a look. Like, for example, Vandergriff would be a guy from Joe's promotion that maybe they want to have him, put him on a card and see how he does and see if they like him. You can bring the indies together a little bit nationwide by bringing some different people in and reaching that group as well.
But he could have done that without spending the money on Ring of Honor.
Say that again?
I said they could have done everything that you guys have said they could do without spending the money on Ring of Honor.
Yeah, but I disagree because they have that. They have the video library. That's the most extensive thing that they probably paid for. But the name Ring of Honor is a bigger name than Championship Wrestling from Chicago.
Yeah, it is interesting, you know, and Fish, I see your point on this, in that you could just make it an AEW, branded AEW show. And that was something when this happened, I listened to Meltzer and the guys talking about how whenever someone's bought a territory or bought an organization up, you know, the buyer is the one that's got the bigger name. So the Ring of Honor name isn't going to carry as much weight. I think it's a little different in this case, though, with Ring of Honor, you know, the popularity of it. Yeah, it did wane, but it was because the roster got gutted between WWE and AEW.
Those fans are hardcore. Yep. And now, especially with NXT going the way they are, there's kind of that opening for that style. You know, right. NXT took away all those super indies, and everybody was like, oh, I can't believe they did that. And Adam Cole and Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly and Gargano. Now Ring of Honor can step right in, and now NXT isn't the competition.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist anymore. It's more of a developmental territory.
Yeah, and you can separate these, and you can separate some of the people out that are on the AEW roster that you're fighting to find time for. And now you've got a new show, a separate brand that you can kind of combine with that indie feel and not have to worry so much about, you know, it's got to be an AEW style. You can have whatever style you want down there and experiment with it and just turn that into a science lab of wrestling.
Bottom line is April 1st, they announced the Super Card of Honor show that they're going to probably move forward with. And then a guy like Shane Strickland has already been booked on that show, because now by releasing everybody, now they have the freedom to use whoever they want. Tony Khan can use whoever he wants. He could bring in whoever he wants, but it's still got the name Ring of Honor. And if anybody could do it, they can, because they have so many guys who are synonymous with Ring of Honor.
Right. And, well, one other asset that they've gotten from this that I think a lot of people are forgetting about is Honor Club. You have a streaming service and a huge list of people that you just got that are wrestling fans that now you'll be able to reach. That to me is something that everybody seems to have kind of been like, have totally blown off in this whole thing. But AEW doesn't have a streaming service. Now they do.
Well, we're hearing HBO Max now, so that's another rumor.
Right, and that was the other thing that people weren't sure if that was what this announcement was going to be. But now AEW's got a streaming service. They've got a place to put all this stuff. So they combine their show with everything from Honor Club, and that's a pretty good video library.
And content is the most important thing. You need to have tons of content. And it was like, in reality, you could have went to YouTube and seen everything on AEW because they've only had a regular TV show and some pay-per-views, and they haven't had that many of them. Like, why would somebody pay $10 a month, $8 a month for all their footage when you've probably seen it all? Now you get to go. It's kind of like why a lot of people got the WWE Network, because they could see the stuff from the 80s and the 90s, and who's this Bruno Sammartino guy. Now you could see CM Punk, you know, when he first started, and all these guys who became some of the biggest superstars in the business.
Yeah, plus now AEW also getting that video library. You know, when the first match that they had on Dynamite, they brought back Christopher Daniels and had Bryan Danielson there who wrestled the first main event of Ring of Honor, and now they're going to have all the video to tie the history. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the promo. And Fish, I'm with you that, you know, maybe that it could be that part of it could end up being a waste, but we'll see.
Well, now they can use Jay Lethal. You know, is he signed with them, by the way? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Some of those signings at this point kind of make sense. If that deal was in the works for a few months, yeah, maybe bringing some of those ROH guys in adds up a little bit more now. So we'll
call him Claudio.
Yes. Now that would be a headliner. So there you go. So that is what's going on with the Ring of Honor sale. Did want to mention real quick before we get into our predictions for the Revolution pay-per-view tonight. Impact had their sacrifice card. We had a few title changes last night. The tag team women's, the Knockouts tag team titles are now in the hands of Madison Rayne and Tennille Dashwood. So they knock off the Iconics, or whatever they are, Inspiration, excuse me. Violent by Design, Eric Young and Joe Doering take out the Good Brothers. Fish, you've got to be happy about that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, I really like Eric Young. He really transformed himself, and I think, you know, the group they put together in WWE, I think they missed the boat on him.
Yep. And Mickie James loses the Knockouts World Championship to Tasha Steelz. So a few title changes on that one. Moose beat Heath Slater, so no Impact
Shocked
Championship
there.
for Heath Slater. Horribly disappointed. So there
I don't
you go.
Know how he's going to tell his kids he got the low end of the pay.
Yeah, tough break for him. All right, so let's get into our predictions for tonight. And by the way, I will be at the Santa Fe Theater watching the show. So get your tickets.
Santa Fe's doing it again, huh?
Yeah. So come on up. I would love to meet you. There's still some seats available over there. So, you know, if you want to come join us and meet me, it would be fun. Hang out. To have some popcorn and some Coke. Fish is shaking his head like, yeah, okay, get to it. All right, let me get our betting odds up here, because we always like to have those betting odds coming around when we do our picks.
Oh, do they have odds on the pay-per-view?
They sure do. And somehow
I got to go look. I might have to put some money back in the account.
Yeah, get the $5 out, everybody. Let's see if you can make a little bit of money on this one. And give me one moment, because somehow I lost it, and I'm pulling it right back up. There we go. All right. So here's your match list. We'll go one by one real quick. The 6-man tag team match. It is a trios match, and they're going to be having a trios title, by the way, in AEW. The House of Black takes on Death Triangle. And by the way, Eric Redbeard, the former Eric Rowan, back in AEW now. He's part of Death Triangle. House of Black minus -250, Death Triangle plus +170. Fisher, you got?
House of Black's going to destroy him.
Oh, that was quick. Joe?
Yeah, I know we're low on time. House of Black, you can't put that group together and have them lose.
Yep, I would agree. House of Black's got that one. One of the more intriguing matches of the night, the AEW Women's World Championship. It is Thunder Rosa taking on the champ, Britt Baker. Thunder Rosa is the favorite, minus -200, Britt Baker plus +150. Is it over for DMD, Fish?
Yeah, I think it's time for them to move on from her. I think she's had the title long enough.
Joe?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you got to do things just to freshen it up. And Thunder Rosa had a good year. And, you know, putting the belt on her, you know, changes a little bit of the dynamics there. So I go with Thunder Rosa, too.
I hate seeing Britt lose, but, yeah, I'm with you. Rosa's has had a ton of momentum, and she's been wrestling very well. So I think it's time for Thunder Rosa.
She's got teeth to pull next week, so she's not going to be available.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to slide down here a little bit. The Tornado Tag Team match, Sammy Guevara, Sting, and Darby Allin taking on the Andrade Hardy Family Office. The first team is -400, AFHO +250. Any chance Sting takes a loss tonight?
No chance.
No chance, I would agree. Joe?
No chance.
By the way, if you did not see the Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, Andrade match on Rampage, go watch it. Terrific match. Those guys tore it up. Andrade did the power stuff. He did a power bomb with Sammy on his shoulders, who was holding Darby Allin up to do a suplex when they were going to do a superplex off of it. Unbelievable.
Did Brian Cage do that at the Mecca?
I don't know. Did he?
Something like that.
Okay. I don't remember.
Somebody jumped off. He caught him. Yeah. It was pretty impressive.
All right.
The power stuff looks good, especially in those three-way matches.
Yeah. TBS Championship, Jade Cargill, the champ, takes on Ty Conti. Jade Cargill is a -1500. And by the way, she is not the biggest favorite on the board. Any chance Jade Cargill has her undefeated streak ended? The answer is fish.
No, there's a reason why she's -1500.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure her family put a lot of money on her, so move the odds.
There you go. Yes, no chance Ty Conti wins this match. The biggest favorite on the board is Hook as he faces off with QT Marshall. Hook is a -3000. QT +800. Taz's kid bite the dust tonight?
If it was WWE, yes, because that's the kind of booking they do. But since it is AEW, not WWE, Hook will win.
Joe?
I was going to pick QT Marshall, but then Taz came out crying about the orange T-shirts that somebody was wearing, so they got to appease him, so they got to let his kid win.
All right, I got Hook as well. Chris Statlander taking on Layla Hirsch. Any chance Layla Hirsch gets an upset victory tonight? Statlander's only -165 on this one.
Nah, Statlander's got it.
Joe?
No idea who either one is, so...
I'm going to take Layla Hirsch in an upset tonight.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So somebody has to kind of like win something that you don't expect. And I don't think either name is a big name. So that's, you know, something that if they want to pull an upset, they can do that.
All right. Eddie Kingston against Chris Jericho. Kingston is a -400. Jericho +250. Does Kingston finally win the big one? Fish.
It's funny because Jericho's big thing when he first came into WWE is that he couldn't win the big one, and now it's the reverse with Kingston. But I think Jericho. This is the upset that I'm going to talk. I'm going to take Jericho in this one.
Wow, Joe.
Well, you know, in the world of betting, you always say a live dog, and Jericho's a live dog. You know, whether he's patched it up with Santana and Ortiz, and you know, it's Chris Jericho. You know, usually in that situation, it's not going to be one and done. So maybe it takes the next pay-per-view in Vegas for Eddie to get the big win. So maybe somehow Jericho pulls it off.
All right. And we got to go real fast for the rest of these. Brian Danielson, John Moxley. Both are minuses. -125 Danielson. Moxley -115. Real quick, Fish.
Danielson.
Joe.
War, no count out. Other people get involved and the tag team is born.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I will take Moxley tonight. Face of the Revolution ladder match. Wardlow is a +100. Keith Lee +100. Then we've got Ricky Starks, Orange Cassidy, Powerhouse Hobbs, Christian Cage. Which one will grab the brass ring tonight?
Keith Lee.
Joe?
Yeah, he's the hot commodity. They got to bring in Keith Lee to win. That way he can lose a title match later.
I'm taking Wardlow tonight. Getting on the Wardlow train. CM Punk and MJF. Real fast dog collar.
MJF.
Joe?
I think CM Punk's got to get the win. That way they have the trifecta, and the big third match will be in Vegas.
I will take Punk as well tonight. Tag match, Jurassic Express, Red Dragon Bucks.
Red Dragon.
Joe?
Yeah, got it. Time for a change.
I'm agreeing with that one as well. And then we got Paige and Cole.
And a Hangman Page.
Joe?
Yeah, I don't think Cole's been hot yet, so I think Paige has to win.
I agree with you as well. So there's your picks. Go on betonline.ag for those odds. And we want to thank you for joining us. Hey, I'll see you tonight at Santa Fe. Enjoy Revolution. Fish and Joe, thank you. Everybody in Las Vegas, have a great night. Thanks for listening to the Mark Hoke Show. You're on KDWN 101.5 FM 720 AM.